Welcome to the Reality Revolution. Today we're returning to the amazing Robert B. Stone. We have covered so many of his books, and I am returning to one of my favorite books by Robert B. Stone. This book was quite unconventional and very different from his other books, called How to Benefit from the Coming Alien Arrivals. We visited this in another chapter, and in this one, we talk about what you and the world can be like. He visits the idea of aliens surely coming to the Earth soon, and what our world can be like when they come. Robert B. Stone was a prolific writer who wrote many amazing books. I've had the delightful opportunity to interview his son, his granddaughter, and I learned so much. His books are recent and current. He has quoted Neville Goddard in them, and he talks about the science of metaphysics in a very unique way, empowered by his understandings of Silva mind control, which he taught with Jose Silva. The question he really opens up with this book is, what would happen if aliens arrived? And he makes the argument that aliens will be arriving soon, that we should prepare our consciousness for this fact, and that we can do that. We can raise our consciousness and our power. And he gives and cites a number of authors who have remote viewed into the future in different places, talking about the existence of Jesus and Buddha as extraterrestrials. There's so much cool stuff in this book. It is so much fun to read. So join me. How to Benefit from the Coming Alien Arrivals. What you and the world can be like. A magnetic solar storm in March 1989 is still remembered by scientists. It set off a beautiful display of Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, and knocked out most of Canada's electric power. On January 6, 1997, an enormous explosion on the sun aimed at Earth sent a cloud 30 million miles in diameter hurtling toward us. 4 days later, it arrived. Solar storms can wreak havoc on Earth. It can affect our communications via satellite, our electrical systems, and our radar. This time, there were no serious symptoms on Earth, except possibly the failure of AT&T's Telstar satellite, a swirling mass of protons and electrons hitting Earth at the speed of 1 million miles per hour, caused no natural problems to speak of and no damage to human beings. We are pretty resilient creatures. What about the arrival of a swirling mass of motherships escorted by fleets of other space vehicles, all manned by aliens, intent on making planet Earth their new home? How resilient would we be then? Life expands in new experiences. The arrival of these aliens would be a new experience, and therefore an adventure in life, expansion, and the growth of consciousness. If we would treat it like a blessing it would be. It is tempting to say, well, there is always some Hitler-like individual ready to exploit situations in demonstrations of violence. This is quite likely true in Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Americas, but not on Mars or on Jupiter or on planet 31213 of star 816 in the RV galaxy. Why? They are so highly developed, as evidenced by their ability to get here. They would know of such a risk and go elsewhere. Create a reinforcement for your consciousness. The greater the person you are, the greater you will benefit by come what may. Your enlightened consciousness will be enlightened even more. LD was a diamond cutter. His reputation at turning diamonds in the rough into dazzlingly beautiful gems was known throughout the world of precious jewels. One day he was attacked in the street and a batch of his latest creation seized. It was a stunning financial blow, one he could ill afford, but it did not dishearten him. He took safer methods of storing and moving his gems. He also decided to be twice as diligent in his cutting work in order to surpass his previous product. The severe loss was soon turned into a step forward in his career and a sizable material gain. This is a lead-in to how you can use a stone to assist your elevated consciousness. Not a diamond, just an ordinary stone you might find lying at your feet. Select a pretty stone of convenient size to keep in your pocket. You're about to charge this stone with your own consciousness, energy. Here's how. Place the stone on your lap and close your eyes. Relax in the usual way. Visualize a ball of light above your head. Move this light slowly down inside your body until it is level with your solar plexus, a little above the navel. Visualize a shaft of light coming from the ball of light, shining out through your solar plexus onto the stone. After a minute or so, wrap the stone in imaginary plastic wrap and withdraw the shaft of light back into your body. Move the ball of light slowly up and out of your body to the point above your head where it started. Affirm mentally, "This stone is one with me. It protects me from the evil acts of others and magnifies my good." Open your eyes and mentally chant Om 3 times. Keep this stone on your person or near you for as much of the day or night as convenient. It is your personal talisman. It is charged with the energy of your own consciousness and therefore one with you and ever faithful to you. The more advanced your consciousness because of your previous experiences or because of the relaxed imagery sessions in this book, the more powerful the stone and the greater its benefits to you. Your bookie will give you odds that the aliens would be good, not evil. It does not matter in what religion you believe. You are taught about the power of evil to undermine you. But turn to poets and philosophers, and to them, this is an error or illusion. Take Voltaire. A little evil is often necessary in obtaining a great tool. Or Ralph Waldo Emerson. The first lesson of history is the good of evil. Even St. Ambrose saw it that way when he wrote, "There is nothing evil save that which perverts the mind and shackles the conscience." The Bible is replete with references to Lucifer, the fallen angel, as Satan or the devil, the source of evil. Animals and humans could be possessed by the devil, in which case elaborate ceremonies were performed to exorcise the evil by ending the possession. Today, possession is recognized as an invasion of a person's mind at a weak moment by a soul that has become disoriented. Exorcism is the process of convincing that lost soul to look upward and follow the light to the Creator or Father. Sometimes possession is diagnosed as schizophrenia, and sometimes schizophrenia is thought instead to be possession. The symptoms of each have much in common. The term hell, also in the Bible, and commonly referred to by religionists, again, like evil, is a creation of the mind. Does that mean we create our own hell? Yes, it does. Many folks are quite skilled at it. Their whole life can be hell. After they pass on, they wind up where all the rest of us wind up, wherever that is. Consciousness is again the key. My consciousness for my good or evil, for my heaven or hell. Your consciousness for your good or evil, for your heaven or hell. The aliens have a consciousness of good, for they see Earth as a haven and a heaven. They are likely not coming here to escape their hell on a destroyed planet, but to help us to preserve our planet and to keep it from becoming a hell. Hopefully, when they arrive, we will not greet this good with evil. How to use your mental imagery to move all people towards good. In India, gurus sit cross-legged on mountaintops in silence, sometimes for hours, even days and nights. They are usually using their imaging powers to improve understanding and help bring peace to the world. I got news for you. You are a guru, and you don't need a mountain. You can do the very same thing and be just as successful right in the chair in which you are now sitting. What do gurus see in their meditations? I suppose each guru has different priorities, but they all relax and they all visualize or imagine in a positive, constructive way. Some readers may choose to see a better outcome for a football game or a fundraising drive or a court trial. These types of creative sessions are fine and they work. However, do not make the mistake of trying to control other people. Your mental pictures can avoid this by seeing outcomes, not people doing the things you want them to do to reach these outcomes. Other readers may choose to see such better outcomes as the leaders of two countries diffusing a confrontation. See them shaking hands. Here are some suggestions for your becoming an Atlas and lifting up the globe. Remember to relax first in the usual way. You might want to support the president and his White House staff in some critical decision. Send them wisdom, strength, and understanding. See the crisis past with honor and peace. You might want to help change the demoralizing acts of some dictator or dangerous political figure. See such a person bathed in a brilliant white light, the light of love and enlightenment. A good general planetary mental picture to hold is this. There is a huge, empty stadium. World leaders are filing in. They embrace or shake hands. The stadium is the world arena. See the world leaders working together in full harmony. Another good planetary picture to hold in your relaxed imagery sessions is to see planet Earth as we might see it from outer space, but see it bathed in a brilliant white light, again, the light of love and enlightenment. I hope I've helped to make the living room chair in which you sit to enjoy these relaxed imagery sessions one of your favorite places of relaxation. If you do feel a receptive and inviting nature about the chair, it is the beautiful aura your outreaching consciousness has become imbued. In the very material of the chair, peek at it in some night and see if it glows in the dark. We are all aliens on this planet. You and I are Johnny Come Latelys. If you compress the history of planet Earth into 1 year, life did not appear until May or June. Homo sapiens did not appear until about 11 p.m. on December 31st. We did not begin to fly until a minute ago. Progress is moving faster and faster. We are now able to physically control evolution, so instead of changes taking centuries, they can happen with gene manipulation overnight. Who knows where the latest medical science will take us? I was practically alone in my thinking 50 years ago. Today, hundreds of lecturers and writers are blanketing the planet with the messages you have in your hands, in different words and in different approaches, but with the same goal in mind. We must become more godlike. I love Jean Houston's bombastic approach in her popular lectures and workshops with such expressions as God is looking for live wires and you are God in hiding. The powers of the mind have existed for centuries, but those in charge of tribes, religions, and kingdoms have zealously kept these powers under wraps lest they lose their control. A woman suddenly images her 7-year-old son killed in a motorcycle accident. 10 years later, it happens. This is called future memory. An accountant is able to relax and ask where the missing funds have gone. The answer comes and he is able to verify it. This is called psychic functioning. A teacher decides to do her homework, encourage her junior high school class to be more disciplined and responsive. She relaxes and mentally speaks to the class. Within a few days, other teachers are asking her how she did it. This is called subjective communication. These are becoming more and more common occurrences. Future memory, psychic functioning, subjective communication are emerging powers of the mind, emerging from secrecy. A number of mind training courses are now available to accelerate their appearance. Remote viewing, healing at a distance, and enhanced intuition are seemingly miraculous mental powers. But they have proven their existence time and time again. We are new to this planet compared to its billion-year history, and our mental powers appear to be even newer. To some nearsighted scientists, they still do not exist. Their limiting thoughts hold up progress. They also delay our intercourse with life on other planets, where the use of the power of the mind transcends space and time. Time appears to be accelerating. The mass consciousness of humanity appears to be rising. We are getting closer to what? Buddha called it enlightenment. Hindus call it liberation. Jesus called it reborn in the spirit. One hears other terms such as Christ consciousness, self-realization, Satori, illumination. I favor the term cosmic consciousness. As soon as we attain cosmic consciousness, it will be like a bell ringing on Mars. On whatever planet the grays come from and throughout the galaxy, Earth people have made it. Animals have something we cannot explain, but which is probably in the same ballpark. Recently, there have been press reports of an extensive study made by Rupert Sheldrake on this subject involving 1,500 canine cases around the world. Sheldrake found that 46% of the dogs he studied began behaving as they usually do before their owners return, but up to an hour before their arrival, even though the owners were on irregular working shifts. The animals became excited, often going to the window to watch for the owner's return. Some cats and other pets showed similar cognition. When the owner was returning from an overseas trip, one minor bird began shouting, "Robbie's coming home." The big question is why 54% of the dogs did not exhibit this apparent psychic ability. Perhaps it involves the same factors that inhibit most humans from functioning psychically when a select few can do so dramatically. I can't. The Silva Method has been one of the most successful mind training seminars. Measured by psychic ability attained, millions of graduates around the world have learned relaxation and visualization, enabling them to lower their brainwave frequency to the alpha level and activating their right hemisphere to get answers to formerly insoluble problems. They are able to accelerate healing in themselves and in others, even at a considerable distance, and to read the minds of other people where their own vital interests are involved. What the world could be like. Without succumbing to the impossible concept that all problems will be solved through the attainment of a higher and more expanded consciousness, but rather attempting to stick to the cause-effect relationship of such an accomplishment. Here are some of the probable effects in our personal and political life on Earth. Family life. Family relationships will be closer. The factors leading to crime, drug use, dropouts, and runaways will lessen and disappear. We will be more tolerant, understanding, and helpful with and toward each other. We will be more ethical in business and professional practice. We will all be healthier as a result of a decrease in stressful conditions. Poverty and homelessness will decrease as a consciousness is elevated. Political life. Government leaders will work together more for the common good, resorting to force less and statesmanship more. Labor and management will strive less for proving who is right and more for agreeing on what is right. The need for governments to be big daddy will diminish as people become healthier and more self-reliant. Hundreds of laws and rules protecting the ecology will be allowed to lapse, not only because the need will have lessened, but because individuals and industries are themselves more environmentally protective. Energy will be cheaper, evolution will be controlled, and raw materials will be more abundant due to psychic detection and replacement. It sounds like an Eden, but don't be fooled. We advance, but for each two steps forward, there is one step backward. As the Creator moves us to ever further heights of consciousness through more exacting circumstances and advanced realities. These are general statements, but you benefit from every one of them. You will be safer, healthier, more loved and loving, less stressed, wealthier, wiser, and happier, and readier for the aliens when they arrive. Your spiritual grandeur, a green light for aliens. Have you ever thought of going on a safari? If so, you probably begin by checking the travel ads in newspapers, magazines, and on the internet. This is because you do not want to risk your life by trying to penetrate jungles and view wild animals on your own. Safaris are organized with safety measures dictated by experience and a know-how for catching the rhinoceros or lion in a natural but riskless setting. A visit to New York by Martians or other extraterrestrials being would be analogous to our safari. They would be exposing themselves not to claws and jaws, but to guns and bombs, and so would need to be led by their own, who have been here before and devised safety measures for mingling with Earth humans in a natural but riskless setting. Research by extraterrestrials for readying safe safaris to Earth appears to be going on now. They must have mentally detected our rising consciousness. Domestic animals are being mysteriously deprived of their organs and left dying in the field. Crops are being sampled and massive indecipherable designs of crop circles left as a calling card. People are being abducted by aliens to be surgically and mentally explored. Maybe the ads are already appearing in the Martian Gazette. Enjoy an exciting safari to Earth. Courtney Brown's remote viewing of Buddha, Jesus, and God. I want to take this opportunity before these pages conclude to remind readers of the vital part played by Dr. Courtney Brown in supplying scientific facts to me about extraterrestrials through his early book published by Dutton Cosmic Voyage. His were not insights, but on-sites. He not only chose Mars and other galactic sites, but also was sent by his monitor to visit Buddha, Jesus, and even what we call God. Budu appeared to be a key figure in the Galactic Federation. Brown says that this Buddha-like humanoid knew Brown was there and invited Brown into his mind to better understand why the galaxy needed humans to be friendly and helpful. Jesus also appeared to be in the Galactic Federation headquarters. Brown writes that Jesus stated the purpose of life is to produce evolution, and that there should be no limits to the human desire to help aliens however they come to us. When the scientific remote viewing target was God, Brown found himself with future Greys quite evolved and spiritually united. He interpreted this to indicate that God exists in fragmented form throughout creation. Once humans discover their relationship to Source, the dominant theme of existence is love. This is heavy stuff. It is probably too heavy for today's students of many particular religious teachings. It is certainly too much for your nearsighted author. I have to fall back on something more earthly like Omar Khayyam's Rubaiyat. This veritable fortress of spiritual treasures has withstood the ravages of time, written in Persia where its profound spiritual references are still not fully understood. The Rubaiyat is regarded simply as great religious poetry. To me, its main theme exhorts us to muster up the courage we need to survive life's storm clouds of financial and emotional crises, that we may attain the dawn of fulfillment. This fulfillment is recognized by its joy, love, and God realization. It would not be surprising to me that there are editions of the Rubaiyat other than the English one I possess, published by the Self-Realization Fellowship, founded in 1920 by Paramahansa Yogananda, maybe a gray edition and a Martian edition. The time factor affecting the alien's arrival. Time might be the creator's way of preventing everything from happening at once. Just how long it will take for the consciousness of humanity to rise to the point where it passes the alien's test of sanity is beyond our ability to measure. But this is certain, there is presently an acceleration of time. Events are moving faster. It is not a straight line rate of growth. We are moving upward faster and faster on a hyperbolic curve. Some of the concepts that are accelerations and becoming more commonplace are angels, aliens, and absolute zero. If time is moving faster, can space be getting smaller? Einstein explains the connection between time and space. Fortunately, we don't have to understand his theory in order to accept it, or the latest concept of strings. The end of time for a caterpillar is the beginning of time for a butterfly. The end of man's monopoly of Earth could be the beginning of interplanetary life in the universe. The aliens may already be here, or they may be on the way, or they may still be in the planning stage. Why is this book being written? Why are so many sightings and abductions being talked about? What is the meaning of animal mutilation in crop circles? It is certainly beginning to sound like get ready, get set, go. The late psychic Jean Dixon became famous for having predicted the next president would die in office. Then Kennedy was elected and assassinated. But she did not pinpoint the year, there being a possible 8-year span. Time seems to be an unpredictable element even to seers and psychics. A rumor became rampant among skywatchers and UFO fans in 1996 that by the end of 1997, a colossal invasion of Earth would take place involving 1 million motherships and their retinues. Later that year, the rumor was augmented by another to the effect there would be a delay. No reason given. Again, time became a variable in the formula. Robert Benchley is quoted as saying, "It took me 15 years to discover I had no talent for writing, but I couldn't give it up because by that time I was too famous." Time will continue to flout all predictors of just when the aliens will arrive until one day they will be right because the aliens will be here. To predict the aliens' arrival, think like the aliens think. The late Richard Prentice Edinger, co-founder and chairman of the board of publishing giant Prentice Hall, told this story at many sales meetings. He had gone to see Ken Murray's famous show in California called Blackouts. He was so impressed by a unique parakeet act that he went backstage to meet the bird's trainer. "How did you train those birds to do their amazing act?" Edinger asked. "Easy," replied the trainer. "All I had to do was think the way the birds think. If we stand to gain knowing when the aliens will decide to make a massive move to Earth, we could put our feet in their shoes and our head in their head and see what the thoughts come. Practice this first on family or business associates or competitors. Here's how. Relax in the usual way. Deepen your relaxation by additional countdowns. Imagine an alien. Imagine you take off the alien's head and put over your own as a helmet. Ask, when are you aliens coming to planet Earth? Wait for an idea to come. It feels like you're making it up, but you're not. Give the alien back his head, end your session in the usual way. The most important step in this sequence is to give the alien back his head. Otherwise, you could begin acting quite strangely. You are now a person of greater strength. The goal of this book has been to deepen your experience with the Creator, to bring you closer to your source. You were not required to go through some soul-testing initiation. You did not have to fast for days or meditate for hours. You did not have to expose yourself to heat or cold or beds of nails or deprivation. All you had to do was to occasionally enjoy a few minutes of relaxation and mental picturing in your favorite living room chair. There's little chance that you have become Muhammad or Jesus or Buddha, but you cannot close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths, daydream, and thus be closer to the Creator for 1 minute without growing in strength. When you use exercise equipment to gain strength, you can control which muscles will benefit. Some people like to strengthen their biceps, others their abdomen, still others their leg muscles and back. But when you close your eyes, take a few relaxing deep breaths and tune to the Creator by visualizing His creatures. You are increasing your strength of spirit. Practically speaking, this makes you better able to successfully meet a challenge or cope with a difficult circumstance or rise to a special occasion or go through a time of change. Not only the arrival of aliens, but also any change. Yes, you are stronger morally and you are more courageous, but strength of spirit, which you now have, goes even further than that. Strength of spirit, due to the Creator dwelling within you in a more pronounced way than before, means you are more intelligent, have greater wisdom, and are a more skillful problem solver. Here are a few questions which you probably would have turned your back on before you started this book. Maybe you still will, but read them and see if you are tempted to answer them. What are some of the ways that human behavior is similar to other forms of life? In what ways are all people the same? What changes do you see in the world today which suggest we are living in a time of transition? How will you get along with aliens when they arrive? What does it take for you to be more human than you are today? What does it take for you to be more spiritual than you are today? A day in the not-too-distant past, you probably would have thrown up your hands at such a question, but today, don't you feel tempted to think about them? In the process of gaining strength, you become closer to infinite intelligence. So your purview is expanded. This means that the area of your competence has been enlarged, giving you greater range of vision and understanding. Could you have wondered when the aliens might arrive 5 years ago, or even 6 months ago? Today you can cope with the concept. You are ready. You know you will benefit when the day comes, and thanks to your readiness, you are benefiting now. A final session that deserves no finality. We are going to conclude this book with a final relaxation and imagery session. You will want to repeat this session on a continuing basis if you do not repeat any others. It is the next thing to all-inclusive. The gains that you have made will be reinforced and perpetuated. It is a long but effective session, one which, of course, you will need to tape or have read to you. The tape is preferable because you will use it more readily in the future, whereas you may not want to impose on the time of a reader. Whether taped or read, it is good to read this guided imagery session first before doing it, so there are no surprises. Familiarity with what is coming is always conducive to more complete relaxation. You are not, at least intellectually, sitting on the edge of your seat. Here's the text of the session. Sit in your comfortable living room chair. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. As you exhale, remind yourself how good it feels to relax deeply. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, feel heavier in the chair as you give in to gravity. Take a third deep breath, and as you exhale, feel a wave of relaxation go from head to toe. Count backwards slowly from 5 to 1. 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Mentally picture a beautiful rose garden. Look closely at a red rose, then an orange rose, yellow rose, green rose, and a blue rose. Look closely at the petal of a rose where one drop of water reflects all the colors of the rainbow. Repeat mentally, I am capable in everything I do. I am a star in the game of life. Chant aloud the mantra, Om, 3 times. Repeat mentally, I am godlike. I conquer obstacles. I have total confidence in myself. Mentally picture a blizzard of money coming at you. Mentally affirm every day, in every way, I'm getting wealthier and wealthier. I am the most valuable person I know. Mentally picture yourself standing in front of an alien. You hug the alien in appreciation of his or her creator-given strength. You become stronger that very moment. Mentally affirm, I am a person of unlimited strength. I am strong of purpose, strong of resolve, strong of courage. I respect and am respected by extraterrestrials. Mentally picture a serene lake. Stand at its edge. Look at the reflection of yourself in the water. Mentally say, I love you. Mentally affirm, I surrender to my Creator, knowing that I will always be supported. Our love is mutual and everlasting. Chant aloud the mantra Om 3 times more. Om. 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 End your session in the usual way. You have a closer and closer relationship with your source, the Creator. You share the Creator with extraterrestrials, and so you are closer and closer with them. You automatically have a genuine can-do approach to every task. You're able to depend on your intuition to help you in making brilliant decisions. You live your days free of fatigue, stress, tension, and unwanted physical symptoms they cause. You arrive more quickly at where you want to be in life, love-wise, money-wise, and just plain wise. With or without aliens, you know you are in control of your destiny. And this concludes what you and the world can be like with the coming alien arrivals. I just love Robert B. Stone's writing. It is so much fun. It's light, it's humorous, it's profound, it is inspiring. If you read the rest of the book, which I highly recommend, he is saying he clearly believed that aliens were coming, said coming alien arrivals, and he establishes this and talks about what will happen, what galactic politics would be like, tries to propose the different ways in which we can interact with aliens, how they can benefit us. There's a lot of really cool stuff we can pull from this episode. Beyond just the idea that aliens are coming, the whole point is to raise our consciousness to that level so that we're at the same level of outside intelligences beyond our Earth. Great exercise for you to place or charge a stone that you can use. Loved that. And he makes a very valid argument why those aliens that we come into contact with will be with the Creator. They're going to be good, not evil. And we are all aliens on this planet. We barely only started as a civilization. And it opens up some interesting questions within as to what would it be like, how we can relate to other life forms. So I loved it all. Did you try the meditation where you place the alien's head on yours? Please write in the comments what experiences you had when you entered the alien's consciousness. In any case, I feel definitely more prepared for the coming of aliens into our society. If it happens now or in the future, I say come. Don't be afraid of us. Yes, there's some crazies out there, but there's a lot of love, and we'll accept you with open arms. So come and join us, and welcome to the Reality Revolution.